You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I Hate Dating, where we try to take the world of dating and make it suck just a little bit less. As always, I'm joined by my illustrious co-hosts, Stacey and Paul. Stacey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Paul, how are you, sir?
Doing well, doing well.
Excellent. All right, so let's jump into our first story. When do I disclose? I'm a female. I'm going 30 years old.
Yeah.
I was diagnosed with genital herpes when I was 20. Dating has been hard. I make light of it, but really it hurts to be judged and rejected so often because of it. It's always a game changer when I have that conversation. Do you tell them early on and risk them never getting to know you? Happens all the time. Or do you wait to tell them later and risk them getting very upset? Because by the third or fourth date, things have gotten more serious. So what do you guys make of this situation? Any suggestions or thoughts? Thanks. Who wants to jump in first on this one?
I'll jump in.
All right.
So this is a, I think this is a pretty good submission because mm-hmm. a lot of people are going through similar situations and it's not really talked about.
Absolutely.
You know, sexually transmitted diseases are very real.
Yep.
A lot of people suffer from them. And, you know, even with recently, Usher, you know, was accused of having, you know, herpes, right. and it was like this
Whatever
really big scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he never, you know, confirmed or denied that he, you know, has herpes, but, mm-hmm. you know, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And so I completely, you know, feel for this young woman in terms of her feeling like, you know, she's embarrassed, you know, about mm-hmm. it and she really doesn't want to disclose it. Especially when, you know, you're feeling like I'm really digging this person and then all of a sudden, right, you disclose this information. They're like, you have herpes, I'm out. But mm-hmm. this is the thing because I personally, you know of certain situations with people that have, you know, herpes
mm-hmm.
and they're in relationships and one of them is married.
Awesome.
And so it's more about, you know, knowing, you know, your situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, your health, you know, in terms right. of your situation and knowing, you know, that when there's outbreaks and when there's not and those types of sure. things, because you can still be in a relationship and not pass on genital herpes.
Right.
From like what I've been told.
Yeah. Like there's tons of I think that right there, the hesitation you have in that moment is what makes it such a tough conversation
because
mm-hmm. you can't even have civil discourse about it. Right. Because even if it's such a pariah inducing topic that even mm-hmm. people discuss it, everyone has to give the disclaimers. Yep. Nah, that's not me, though.
Right.
those other people and this and that. But right. And then even when you say things like, yeah, now that person's in a relationship, that person is married, that person has mm-hmm. kids, everyone has
Everybody's
this moment
like,
of
like, oh, my God, really? How do they do that?
That's still a person.
Right. Exactly. You know.
So, yeah.
They just, you know, have a condition.
Right.
That unfortunately, you know, is not a curable condition, but it's something that can be controlled
mm-hmm.
From what I've been, you know, told by physicians.
Right.
So I guess I would say to this woman, it is important to disclose it.
Sure.
I know, you know, we've talked about disclosing like mental health and things like that in the past. And
right.
so it is always important to be forthcoming with information. But in this particular case, you know, I don't think you should necessarily say it on the first date.
Very true.
But maybe this should be, you know, a conversation that happens as you're getting to know this person. If you feel like this is someone that you want to go on a second date with or someone that you mm-hmm. really want to pursue something with so that they will know this information up front and then it won't be, you know, a blowout later.
Right. Before or after intimacy?
Definitely before.
Definitely before?
Oh. Yes, okay. definitely.
All forms of intimacy?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Even for the first kiss?
I probably. I think so. Yeah.
Excellent. All right,
well, it depends on what kind of response you want.
All right, so Paul, over to you.
You can wait till after if you want to. You might not get the response you might would have got before. Yeah, I mean, Stacey pretty much nailed it. There's not a whole lot of different angles to take on this particular one. You know, you disclose things early enough,
mm-hmm.
but not in the very beginning. So ultimately, you're going to have different hurdles. Now, this is whether we're talking about STDs, whether we're talking about mental illness, it doesn't matter. If there's something about you that takes you outside of what's socially normal
mm-hmm.
and puts you in the realm of there's a subset of people that have similar circumstances to you,
okay.
then you're going to want to not only put it out there, you do want to put it out there. So you don't keep it a secret. You don't keep it a secret for long. You put it out there when you decide that this is somebody that you want to pursue.
Okay.
Early enough so that it doesn't hurt too bad if they decide that they want to go their own separate way about it.
Okay.
But don't wait long because then you could actually change their reaction if you wait too long to do it. But my point is, when you're putting something out there about yourself that takes you outside of what's the social norm, you have to kind of be on the lookout for certain types of things. Some people will still go ahead and talk to you,
right?
But not take you seriously. And that's one of the caveats there. So you got to look at folks that will still talk to you and take you serious versus the people that won't talk to you at all, or the people that will still talk to you, but you're not really serious. You're just something to pass the time until I find somebody who doesn't have anything that's taking you outside of the social norm.
Fair enough.
And so those are the things to be on the lookout for. But you do weed out a lot by putting it out there relatively early. You do want to put it out there.
Sure. But I want to go to a strategic level because I feel there's a slight difference. If we're talking about – like mental health is one disclosure we talked about on a previous show. But this is something that can physically touch the other person. So I feel like the mental health issue you can let that ride a little longer, you know, but I think like this, you have to tell them just because you want to make sure the other person has the opportunity to opt in or out, you know, on their own free will.
And also this is about, you know, the other person's health as well. You know, they're putting their health at risk. And so, like you said, that's completely different than, you know, if someone else has a mental health issue, that's something that they can't pass on to you, you know, possibly. And that's why it is very important for them to, you know, disclose that information so that they understand all of the risks involved.
I think the timing of it is still, in my opinion anyway, the timing of it should still be the same. Like, you still want mental health or STD. You still want it early. You still want it early, period. I wouldn't want to – you don't want to disclose that you're schizophrenic late into the dealings with each other. It's still going to have that same that same negative reaction, because now it's like, oh.
All right, so I'm going to go down the list then. So – you know, I'll say it. You tell me when we should disclose it. So STDs. Non-lethal STDs such as herpes, you know, things of that nature.
Early.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. Mental health issues.
Early.
As early or slightly later?
In my own personal opinion, I would say early. The same time frame for me.
Okay.
I guess it depends on the mental health.
Yeah, it depends on the mental health. Just how crazy are you?
If you have anxiety, I don't think that's something you have to, you know, disclose, right. And then, you know right
with,
away.
With anxiety, okay. I don't know that. I don't see when you say anxiety, I don't even put that in the mental health category.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it probably is, right. But I just personally, like, if someone's like, I have a mental health issue, I'm ready to hear something.
You know, she about to go in, and you're like, oh.
I have anxiety disorder. Oh, all right. So when you get the wheezing, it's not an asthma attack. I just need to rub you back and tell you you're pretty, right?
Let us not downplay. We cannot downplay mental health. Okay, so all right, so it's a little play.
Where's
there.
The bell?
There's the bell. Thank you for that. Thank you, Stacey. Next one up. All right, so what about financial situation?
Now, for me, I don't think that's anything
What's
you have
financial
to disclose
situation?
Right away.
Let's say, you know, the person you're dating, they're in, let's say they're six figures. You know, and it's just obvious to you that they're doing well and they're doing a lot better than you are.
Okay. And or it looks that way.
It looks that way, yeah, right?
Yes. They have their eyeballs in debt.
That looks really good on paper to the alphabet boys.
Make six figures, but I'm going to need to borrow about $5 right now.
Exactly. But, you know, you look a lot. You know that you look a lot better than you're actually bringing in. Right? So you're like in the 20s. So you're not doing very well. Like, how soon do you disclose that information, financial information?
Early.
No
See,
way.
I disagree
Early.
With
Are
that.
You talking about male or female? I think the answer kind of changes from male to female.
Okay, well, Stacey, what do you got in the
way? I don't think that's something you need to disclose right away, because if you're working on it, like, we don't know why, you know, you're in the 20s, you know, life happens, you know what I'm saying? It could be any type of situation. So I don't think that's anything you have to disclose right away.
Sure.
I think maybe if you're moving into something serious where you guys are talking about something long term and both of you are going to be connected with your finances, then maybe that should be a conversation.
Right, I need,
but you don't have to reveal your credit score right
away.
No.
That's not what we're talking about. He said, so Stacey, let's just say you are a six-figure debutante. And you're sitting across from a dude that you're really feeling. This is your second, third date. This what I would consider early.
Sure.
You're really feeling him.
Second or third date. Okay.
I'd consider that early.
Right, I'm just recapping.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, and you're feeling him, and he doesn't tell you that it's doing all he can to take you out these two, three times. He doesn't have discretionary. He doesn't have any income. He stays with his mom or his dad in the basement. These are things that you might want to know, his financial holdings and his financial standing. No, he doesn't have to tell you his credit score or how much debt he's in right away. No. But That's not what you asked. You asked their financial situation.
Financial situation.
Financial situation, yeah, sure. Part of that is credit score and debt and stuff like that. And a part of that, you do have to earn that knowledge. And just somebody I'm going out with a couple times don't need to know that.
Exactly.
However, if it's a struggle for me to go out with you, that could be something that you might want to know earlier than later. You would probably want to know if somebody is completely broken and you're going out with them a couple of times. After about two or three times, you probably didn't go out with somebody else because you went out with this person. You don't want to know that?
I guess, you know, for me, a person's financial situation, you know, I've seen it personally where people had millions and they lost it all. And I'm talking about all of it. And it's like, that doesn't mean that this is someone that can't make millions again.
Sure.
I guess I'm the type of person I feel like if you can make a million, you can make another million.
You should be able to.
Because everybody can make $1 million.
Unless you play that number. Unless you hit that number.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to have talent and gifts to be able, you know, to be able to naturally, you know, make $1 million.
It's not to say that if he doesn't have the money that you wouldn't date him. What I'm saying is, wouldn't you want to know is my point. Just like to say if I have mental illness doesn't mean you're not going to date me, but wouldn't you want to know? This is my point.
I guess I don't. That's not something I feel like you have to disclose.
So I can hold the fact that I'm broke until you're in love with me.
Well, no, not until I'm in love. But
baby,
you know,
I didn't tell you.
Yeah. Well, I guess
I just feel like I don't want to come off as like judgmental because, like I said, I don't know your situation. I mean,
there's a way to tell somebody something too. It's not like you don't have to sit there and be like, babe, I ain't got no money at all.
But
what's
my whole
up
thing
with
is,
McDonald's next week?
But if he was struggling to pay for that meal and he paid for that meal, like that says a lot about that man's character. He's like, you know, regardless of my financial situation, I really want to impress this woman and I want to show you that, you know, I'm the man and I'm going to pay for this meal and I want to see you be happy.
What if he said something similar to what you just said? Without, you know, what if he just said, you know what, it's a rough time for me, but, you know, I want to see you. I want to spend time with you. So I'm willing to go ahead and make a financial sacrifice just so that we can do that, so that you be comfortable and getting to know me in a comfortable situation rather than me trying to get you to the crib all early and stuff like that. So if he comes out with that, you know, that's essentially saying his financial situation in a classy way. There's a way to do everything. But wouldn't you want to know that like earlier? I mean, it's not to say that you hear that and you're like, oh, I'm never talking to you again. But that's just disclosure.
But
it's
like
in the interest of full disclosure.
And
maybe. And that would be my way of weeding folks out, truthfully.
Yeah.
But in the interest of full disclosure, why not let them know?
I guess for me, you know.
Because I want you to know early, because don't be asking me to do a bunch of shit I can't afford.
Okay, but see, that's different. That's a person's character. Someone that's, you know, just naturally a beggar. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just their character.
Alms for the poor.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, we all know that person that, you know, always has their hand out, you know, never go in on the bill, but orders the most wings.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, the one who wants to have the meeting when they find out that they're charging to get in.
Yeah.
We don't do about this because it's going to change.
All right. I don't know what they're talking about, but.
Oh, you never had the meeting?
You ain't never had the meeting. None of your girls have the meeting.
Women don't have the meeting.
Women don't have the meeting.
Men have. All right. So this is it. So you and your fellas are walking up to a club. You get to the front door, and the guy says just $20 a head.
Okay.
There's always one guy like, all right, fellas, bring it in. Hey. Hold on.
Oh.
Hey, they're charging $20 a head to get in, which I want to do.
So was y'all trying to eat after this? How your gas tank looking?
Yeah. There's always somebody with the meeting. There's always somebody with the meeting. So, yes, we have that thing. So the next one is, hey, so my last one thing. All right, so that's the side of, like, financial disclosure.
Uh-huh.
Last one, criminal past.
Now that's important.
Yeah.
That early? Is that later? Is that second date?
That's
like
something
listen.
That people want to look. Because it don't matter in the interest of
four.
Right. A conversation needs to be had about all of these topics.
Yeah, but
in the interest of full disclosure, let's talk about
the
what
question
makes
isn't
you,
the question isn't should the conversation happen. It's how soon.
Early.
Right. Now see, second date feels like it's not like you're having a really heavy second date. Like,
I
listen,
said second or third.
No, I think first on that one. For me, I'm like, first. I need to know who am I going out with.
Thank you.
Really? Okay, so criminal past for Stacey needs to hit the first date. Financial situation, you know what, that can just, you know, long you just show up and do your best, you know what, you can just talk about that when we get close enough that we had to mingle funds, you know, mental health, it depends, and then, you know, STDs is early.
I have a question.
That's right.
Why do you feel like that would make it a heavy second date?
if you're saying let me finish. Right. If you're saying, if you're going to disclose, like, okay, on the second day, I need to let her know my financial situation. I need to let her know my mental situation. I need to let her know my criminal past. I need to let her know all about my STD rundown.
Right.
That's a heavy second date. Like, the first date was, all right, yeah, we went out and had drinks. Second date's like, all right, now let me let you know everything about my life.
How long did you talk in the first date?
See, this is the thing. All right, so this is where you and I
I think
different.
This is where we need to lay some ground rules here. So go ahead.
So my typical first date for me, depending on the person, could be a few hours, 4 or 5 hours, depending on what we're doing.
Of conversation, right? Just straight conversation just 4 or 5 hours together?
I'm a big fan of the first movie date. I know you hate that. I know you hate it. But it's nothing.
We can talk about the movie after.
Exactly. Yeah. It gives me some ammunition to talk about later. It takes the pressure off of, like, this. We have the staring contest across drinks for the whole night. I like the movie.
I love the staring contest.
Yes, of course. So you do. See, you are a verbal pugilist. You enjoy. Like, let's sit here.
Let me pause while I Google pugilist.
You enjoy those type of machinations where you two sit there and throw, you know, conversation back and forth. And I think on a first date, you know, some people, that's it. That's for people like you. Absolutely. Paul will sit there and you were going to talk to Paul. It's unavoidable. For me, it's like, it's always, you know, for certain members of society, it's like, yeah, what can I really say? What do we talk about? I'm not a big fan of small talk, so it's like, eh.
So when you lay it out like that, when you're apprehensive about the conversation piece of the dating, then yeah, I can see why you would say second date. That's so me personally. Yeah. I might have a five. If I had a good date, then I did have a 5 or 6 hour date that consists of us shutting somebody's restaurant down.
Okay.
Having conversation. After you've talked that long, you've probably talked a few times on the phone for a lengthy amount of time. And by the time you get to the second date, this is not heavy conversation. This is all part of the ongoing conversation of getting to know you that we've started once we started talking.
That's a lot of man hours of
conversation.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And so by the time you get, so however many dates it takes to get to that many man hours of conversation, then it's not necessarily a heavy conversation because you've been doing it.
Very good. All right.
Been learning each other.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So final word. Say, what's your final word for this young lady?
Final word is to, go ahead, disclose that information, early on, and don't be afraid to disclose it. I understand why, you would be afraid to disclose it. But, unfortunately, it's something that you're going to have to do if you want to be in a relationship at some point. So go ahead. And like Paul said, you can always weed out, the people that, can't deal with the circumstances. So just go ahead and, disclose the information early on.
Excellent advice. Paul, what's your final word on this one?
Something similar. I mean, I'm a firm believer that there's somebody out there for everybody.
Excellent.
And so you'll find your somebody when you put the real you out there, and you'll find them.
Cool. My take is slightly different. I say wait till you at least know this person's intentions, who they are, because the last thing you need is someone knowing something this intimate and personal about you, and they're blasting out on Facebook. They're putting up, oh, man, you won't believe this one girl I dated, blah, 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 blah. Make sure you're dealing with someone who at least has the mental capacity for discretion, right?
I agree with that.
Definitely before intimacy.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, next story. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 months. Things have moved quick as he asked me to be his girlfriend after dating for 1.5 weeks.
Yeah.
He said he loved me after 2 weeks of dating. He told me at church because he wanted to be special.
Oh, yes.
He always pays for meals and he has bought me a lot of amazing gifts. I do love him. But over time, there have been some things that make me curious about his behavior and if it's normal. We spend almost every day together, but we let each other have our space. I've noticed when I don't see him on Saturdays, he will call a lot through the day or text. He will usually convince me to come over, even though I'm with my family.
Mm.
I don't mind because I love being with him. He gets upset. He gets upset when I don't do things the way he feels they should be done.
Uh-uh.
He once lectured me for 15 minutes because he took the trash out later, and in the middle of the night, I threw a tissue in the can, and he didn't replace the can liner. I worry because I've seen him push his son when his son dropped a piece of sports equipment he had just bought him. He yelled at him and told him he had better apologize if he wanted him to stop yelling. He once lightly poked me in the back when I wasn't moving fast enough in the store. There are more examples of strange behavior. One is 2 nights ago, I was rubbing his leg, and I guess he didn't like the way I did it. I accidentally pinched his skin. He got upset, and he said it's like I have no common sense.
Damn.
He said nobody. I'm sorry. Yeah, my thing here screwed up. Da-da-da-da. All right. He said nobody would rub a leg that way. He said, I can be aloof and I accidentally hurt him because I wasn't paying attention. I've accidentally hurt him a few times and he gets really upset.
Damn.
He went on, and when I tried to interject, he snapped his fingers at me for trying to interrupt. He snapped his fingers. After a while of him talking, I got upset because of the way he was saying these things. They weren't really kind, and I told him that he was being mean. He then went on to say that I have no confidence in our relationship, and that only way he would break up with me is if I cheated or lied. I need to stop being so worried. He said this because when he gets mad, I would text him the next day to apologize because I feel bad that I made him upset. I do send him long messages, but it's because I feel like a bad girlfriend. He told me I'm too sensitive and that I take things he says and does wrong. I cried and shut down. He tried to comfort me and was being sweet for like the next two to three days. The fact that he is so sweet after makes me think that this is my fault. There have been other issues like this where he may get upset about things I do, like if I forget to turn the second light off in the bathroom or things like that. He tells me he's willing to wait for me to learn how to be better. I feel like yes, maybe this is my fault because I'm making mistakes, and he gets so upset that I feel horrible for making him mad. I'm not sure if I'm wrong or if he's just easy to get upset. I'm very confused, and if anyone has any advice, I'd appreciate it. He says all the time he wants to marry me and that he loves me so much, and I know that he does, but I want some advice on this. Paul, what's your take on this one? Be gentle.
I will. All right, so I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon that I feel is already steamed up and ready to roll out that this guy is psycho control and mm-hmm. all that other stuff. So, and he very well may be.
Yes.
But I don't hear enough to just jump on that bandwagon just yet.
No.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
But what I will say is that he is very insensitive, and he is going to take advantage of this particular person's natural personality.
Okay.
And her personality is that of submissive. Mm-hmm. She's completely submissive personality. He's the type that's going to sit there and focus only on his feelings, only on how he feels about something, make sure that she does something a certain way. He's very dominant, mm-hmm. and she's very submissive. And that's probably the reason why things are going well between them as far as she's concerned, is mm-hmm. because she's kind of geared to have this type of relationship.
Right.
And he's kind of geared to lead that type of relationship. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, they kind of fit, but yeah. she's over here going to start feeling like, well, I feel like I'm in some kind of a bad relationship. But the problem yeah. is she's going to be in a bad relationship that she's not going to be able to pull herself out of. Not because of him, but she mentally isn't going to be able to let go mm-hmm. of this dominating personality that mm-hmm. she's latched herself onto. And like, so okay. if you're not there yet, you might want to consider the fact that you're something, you know, you're flowing with this. You're going with this. You guys have a codependent relationship of which he is the dominant and you are the submissive. So if you're okay and comfortable with that role, it is not going to get any better. It's not, I'm not going to sit mm-hmm. here and say it's going to get worse, but it's going to be a whole hell of a lot more of the same.
Okay.
And he's not going to take your feelings into consideration. He is going to be mean. He is going to dominate you in most situations. So if you're comfortable with that, then by all means, proceed on with that, because you do have a very submissive personality. You're gonna gravitate towards this type of character, period. Mm-hmm. But if you're not comfortable with that, you might want to consider other options.
Awesome. Okay, Stacey, what are your thoughts on this one?
I have one word.
Okay.
Run. All of the red flags are there.
All the boys.
All the red flags.
They're all there.
They're all there. Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, she's not happy with this situation, or right. she would not have written this.
Very true.
In terms of, you know, her saying that he poked her in the back when she wasn't moving fast enough, mm-hmm. and, you know, he yelled at his son and demanded that he apologize because he dropped some sports equipment. Yeah, red flags.
Red flags?
Mm-hmm. Red flags.
Completely agree. Okay.
I feel like if you have the feeling that this isn't right, mm-hmm. it isn't right.
Mm.
Go with that feeling.
Wow.
Go with that. And what I mean by that is, she is saying, you know, you're mean, and he is completely, like, insensitive to it. He's mm-hmm. like, basically, like, I don't care. Like, you're the one with the problem.
She's like, you're mean. Yeah. No, you're sensitive.
Right, you're sensitive. Like, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
going to always be something wrong with her.
Always going to be something wrong with her. Yes. And so, if you know, first of all, I can't even say if this is something you feel you can't handle. This is something you shouldn't be handling. No, no one should be talking to you like this. I'm sorry. In right. a relationship. If this is someone that you love and you care about and you are talking about marrying, who would right. want to be with someone like this every single day? I agree, Paul. There are some people that have submissive personalities that are okay, you know, with their, you know, spouses or mates or whoever talking to them that type of way. But she obviously isn't okay with that, or she would not be talking to us.
I wouldn't say that she's not okay with it.
I wouldn't say she's not okay.
And I would also say that she's the type of person. Now, this is just me putting a bet out there off of what the text reads. But I would say, I would put my money on the fact that she's the type of person that'll snap her finger and say, yes, Stacey, yes, sitting right next to that dude, not going nowhere.
But how many people do we know like that?
There's a lot. That's what I'm saying. She's the type of person who will be in that screwed up situation because it fits her personality and still not go anywhere and acknowledge that it's a screwed up situation but don't want to go anywhere.
And see, I feel like the problem here is that she's getting a conflict between emotions and logic. I think logically she is seeing that this is not a good situation.
Yes. Right.
It's like, she's like, clearly the signs are here. Like, Stacey said, the red flags are here. This is clearly not where I'm supposed to be.
Right. Yes.
But whatever happened to her in her past that told her that this is what love should feel like is still keeping her there.
Yep.
So, because one thing I keyed off of in which she said, like, you know, even when I'm with my family, he'll convince me to come back to his side. Mm-hmm. So whenever someone's trying to isolate you from the people that love you, basically they're trying to rewrite your programming.
Yes.
Right.
They're trying to keep you away from other influences so they can tell you, like, no, you need to be this. And he said something to the effect of, you know, I'm willing to wait till you get better.
Right. What's wrong with you now?
Exactly. So I think I'm feeling like that's the kind of level that's kind of the person she's dealing with. And right now, like, I've come across these people in the past, you know, people I've known who have dated these people, and they're always kind of this roller coaster of emotions. Either they're really harsh and then they have some type of false reflection. And then all of a sudden, through this false reflection, they treat you really kindly and say, oh, my God, things will be better. But then the pattern repeats itself again because they're always trying to keep that hook in you.
Yes.
That emotional hook is that a lot of women have it, that need to change, that need to heal, that need to nourish and nurture this person, brings them back into the fold of this.
Or hoping it will get better.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think all of those are just side effects of the fact that this type of character fits well with her personality. Even though it's a negative character, even though it's filled with negativity, the dominance of it fits with her personality. And I've seen, just like you've said you've had a lot of experience with seeing that his particular type.
Right.
I've got a lot of experience seeing her particular type, seeing people in bad situations, acknowledging that they're in screwed up situations and not being able to do anything about it. Just because of their own mind not being able to let go of that screwed up situation.
Absolutely. Now, would you say this is because of her personality or her personality disorder? I know it's a big word. And I'm not saying it to be confrontational, but just the idea of, like, is this her personality or is this something that happened to her and she can actually get through this? Because I don't think healthy people are geared towards being abused. I think if you're in that situation, you're choosing that route, then you're trying to fill some hole inside of yourself.
Yeah. No, healthy people do not reach out for abusive situations. However, you don't have to be unhealthy to reach out to be guided.
You don't have to, okay,
and
go ahead.
There's two. Now, granted, that's a lower end of the extreme. There's a broad scope there. There's people who like to be guided. There's people who like to be led. There's people who need to be forced into certain situations. And then there's people who like to be abused. And that's typically going to be as a result of something that happened before with you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the spectrum. You know,
correct.
Where she falls on that, I don't know. But the one thing that all these people on the spectrum have in common is they like a dominating personality.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. I'm worried that we're using the terms dominating and submissive when what I'm seeing is controlling and codependent.
I agree.
Right? Because like every
different
man,
points on the same spectrum. I mean, on the same spectrum.
Well, here's the thing. Like, all right, so here's my difference, right? So when I think of dominating and submissive, I think those are roles that people play. Like sometimes the man is the more dominant, sometimes the woman is the more dominant. But the dominant isn't necessarily trying to destroy the submissive. It's more of that of like, listen, we both chosen that this person is kind of the leader and we're just going to fall in line and go with this person because we know that leader has the submissive's best interest in heart.
Mm-hmm.
Controlling and codependent is the person's controlling is like, there's something wrong. I need you to be exactly what I want you to be to fulfill the thing that's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you need me to abuse you to fulfill the thing that's wrong with you. And it's a negative energy is built there.
And what
it's
I'm saying is reaction. That those are different points on the intensity scale. So you might have your codependent as one point on the intensity scale, whereas your the someone who just needs, you know, someone who needs to be led is at a different point on the intensity scale. Controlling versus dominant, those are just different points of intensity.
Okay. Yep.
The maximum being that controlling person. The right. dominant person can't easily tap dance his way into the controlling level. You know, it's mm-hmm. there. It's characteristics of the same personality. It's just more intense on one end.
Well, he definitely seems like he's controlling.
Yeah, he's absolutely on the controlling side. Yeah. I think you won't get me to argue that. Now, where she is, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to find out. Like Stacey did say, she is writing, which means that she's not 100% comfortable. Mm-hmm. But also, I don't see anything in this writing that says this is not how I should be treated. She's still asking the question: should I even feel uncomfortable?
Right,
but she knows something isn't right.
Something's amiss, but she's not saying this isn't how I'm. She doesn't have the I am better than this. In her, I
don't
right
think
now,
because I don't think he's turned the heat up yet.
No, still early.
It's still early. You know, so he's laying that trap right now. Right, right now, it's a little pokes in the back, it's him kicking the sun in the face. It's like, you know, it's a little something until he gets her to a next level where he feels
she pinched that leg again. He's gonna turn it up real quick. How many times you gonna pinch my shit?
And that's what
are you messing up a leg rub right now?
And that's when the proverbial mess will hit the fan. It'll be crazy. Very cool. All right, so final words on this one, Paul. What's your final word for her?
Like I said, analyze your situation. If you don't like where it is now, you're not going to like where it's at in a couple of months, or you're definitely not going to like where it's at if you get married. So if this isn't what you want, then do something else. Or if this is something you're comfortable with, then accept it and quit crying about it.
Wait, I have a question about your final word, though.
Yeah.
You said she needs to analyze her situation. Mm-hmm. If she is the unhealthy person, is her analysis worth it? Can she be objective in a scenario when you know that you're...
We don't need to be objective. We just need to know, is this... And this is what I mean by analyze your situation. Mm-hmm. Is this what you want moving forward? It's not going... Let me lay out the premise.
Okay.
If this is not... If I'm telling you right now, not going to get any better, might get worse. Do you want that? She is of sound mind and body enough to answer those questions. Is she of sound mind and body to be objective about her entire situation? No, she's probably not. However, she can say... If it stays this way or gets worse, do I want to be here?
And see, my thought would be you need to find some outside information you need to go talk to someone else. Because if I was to ask a child, like, you know what, this child says they want to eat a Tide Pod. I'm like, no, you don't. But you can't say, like, if you want to do it, then should you do it? No. You need to talk to somebody else who knows more about the situation because you're in the fade. You don't, at this level, it seems to me that you need some additional information to help you make an objective decision to see it differently.
So here's the thing, though. And if we're talking to the type of person that I think we're talking to,
okay,
that ain't about to happen. Because there's people who don't have a problem with self-reflection that ain't into the whole counseling thing. Sure. So that's a certain type of person that's going to even follow that advice. But my thing is, it's this real simple equation. If you don't like where it is now, and if it got worse, you really wouldn't like where you're at, then don't be there. Because I'm guaranteeing you, it is not going to get better. It may stay the same, hopefully, if you're lucky. It will probably get worse, but it's not going to get better. So if you're okay with where it is, okay. Would you be okay if it got worse? Well, then stay where you're at. But if you don't like where it is now and you really wouldn't like it if it got any worse, then don't be there.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, Stacey, what's your final word on this one?
My final word is pay attention to the red flags. I don't feel like this is a situation that's going to get better. I feel like this is a situation that's going to get worse. You know, she questioned, is this behavior normal? No, it's not. Love doesn't hurt. Love isn't uncomfortable in terms of you feeling like you violated this person and you're worried about how they're going to respond or react to what you've done. In terms of physically or, you know, if they're going to have an outburst or whatever it is. So you need to pay attention to the red flags. And if you know that this is something that you're not comfortable with, and when you state that you're uncomfortable with it and he doesn't say, you know, I'm sorry, or I'm going to make an effort to, you know, change that behavior, or I apologize, then you're dealing with the person that thinks that this is okay. And it's not.
Awesome. Very good. All right. Last story of the evening. We only dated for like a month and it was never an official relationship, but I'm having a lot of trouble moving on. I really liked him, but he wasn't as into me, so it wasn't a totally mutual parting, but still friendly. He offered me closure when he officially discussed ending the quote unquote relationship. The conversation happened over text, but I was pretty upset and just sort of ignored his offer. I told him that I had no bitter feelings, but that was kind of a lie. I run into him a few times since, and I think he could probably tell I was resentful. Now, 3 months later, I'm regretting not taking up on his offer because I feel like I've still made no progress in moving on. Would it be inappropriate for me to text him and ask for disclosure or to at least apologize for being cold towards him? Stacey, what's your final word on this one? I mean, sorry, what's your first word on this one?
Let's get it over with,
right?
Do you want Stacey's first thought that came to mind, or do you want Stacey's, you know, professional opinion?
Oh, I want Stacey's first thoughts.
Yeah.
Girl, Stacey
Fierce.
Let it go.
Oh.
That's... Let it go.
And then drop the mic. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Like, that's how I really feel.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to give you the professional matchmaking opinion on this. Okay.
Right.
Every woman wants closure, right? Because we want to know why. What could we have done differently? Mm. How could this, you know, have been avoided? But the reality is, who cares? If he doesn't want to be with you, then he didn't deserve to be with you. Mm. And you don't need to know why he didn't want to be with you, because it doesn't matter at this point. It's been months at this point.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
Unless you really deep down feel like, well, maybe it was when I snapped on him about something,
right,
and you're like, this isn't something I want to repeat, you know, in a next mm-hmm. relationship or dating situation. And so I want to get, you know, this man's, you know, opinion and advice in terms of, you know, what I should not do moving forward. But then at the same time, I'm like, no, don't. No. What are we reaching back out for? No, mm-hmm. let that go. Okay. Move forward. You told this man, no, I don't want your closure.
Mm.
I don't want to talk to you. Okay, I'm
right.
done. Stand in that and move on. I'm sure this guy, he probably was, you know, nice guy. He appeared to be whatever. But I'm sure there is a million other nice guys out there, great guys. But that guy just wasn't for you. So I feel like she needs to just move on. That's my opinion.
Awesome. All right, Paul, what do you have?
And it was like a month. Girl, it wasn't that deep. Let it go.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, follow that up.
I agree with Stacey's professional side.
Okay.
Her professional side offers a lot more useful advice for someone.
Shade? Is that shade?
No.
I feel like it was like some shade.
It felt like a compliment to me.
It's a little cloudy.
I was complimenting your professionalism.
It felt like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
Was it? Backhanded?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me flip the hand over. You want the lights out?
Go ahead, make
a point. So, you know what happens when the back door is open?
Okay.
And you open up the front door.
Yeah.
That cross drafts comes through the house. And what happens? That back door slams hard as fuck. And it almost breaks the glass of the back door, especially if it's a windy day.
Right.
That back door is the baggage from the previous relationship that didn't get closed because you left the door open. Because not because you want closure.
Mm-hmm.
Your little pride gets in the way saying you shouldn't have closure. Who needs so what? Move mm-hmm. on. Obviously, you're not doing well. Yes, Stacey is right in the fact that you should move on.
Yeah.
But this woman is acknowledging the fact that she cannot move on. Therefore, you need some form of closure. Whether it's socially acceptable, whether you
sure.
feel like you're admitting failure, whether you feel like you're acting like you care about what he thinks when he's not with you anymore, that's irrelevant. Something in you needs to close the door on that. So when you open up the new door, you don't get that backdraft that slams everything and shakes everything in the mm-hmm. house.
But do you need the... I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
But do you need... I guess what I'm keying off here is, do you need that other person to give you that? Like, there's an old Buddhist statement that says mm-hmm. that we know we're fully mature when we are willing to accept the apology that we were never given.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I worry that if I am putting my closure, my future relationships on this other person's ability to give me that closure,
mm-hmm.
then I'm letting someone else control who I, you know,
okay,
control
so here's
how
the thing.
Now,
getting closure doesn't mean that they give you anything. Sometimes the closure is being able to say something that you've wanted to say. Sometimes the closure is being able to understand how somebody really actually feels about you and mm-hmm. because you weren't sure about it before. There's a number of different things that will give you closure. Sometimes you can have closure from not even talking to somebody at all, just having said something to them. Even if this is like, I just needed to say this in a text message that you may never respond or even read to. But I got it out. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. closure comes in many different shapes and forms.
Sure.
But when you, and this is all I'm saying.
Okay.
The healing process demands certain things.
Okay.
And when you start trying to bury shit and not address it, not even acknowledge it, that's when you carry it with yeah. you.
But which, to be fair, was not Stacey's prescription. She didn't say bury it.
Stacey not said, dealing with it is burying it.
No, she's saying don't
girl,
ask
the move other, on.
Yeah, don't. I think she's saying, well, Stacey, you're here.
Yes, she
are
is.
You saying that my take on it is that you need to be self-reliant enough to get through this on your own 2 feet. You don't Absolutely. Need someone else to validate you and tell you why they, you know what?
Yeah, and all that sounds great. But what I'm saying yeah. is that if you, that's what you need. However, you might not be doing what you need. You might not be set up to do that.
I guess for me, based off of the text, as you say, Paul,
the text.
Just feel like a month and it was a guy that you weren't even in a relationship with, mm-hmm. you know, who you said wasn't into you like that. It's mm-hmm. like, why are you going through all of this and trying to get this closure and this healing for someone that you didn't even spend that much time with? This is 4 weeks we're talking about.
But we have to meet mm-hmm. people where they're at. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Under normal circumstances, all of those things make sense. You only dated for a month. You shouldn't feel this. You shouldn't feel that. But we got to meet people where they're at. Regardless of what she should and shouldn't feel, she is where she is.
I mean, I'm not going to say she shouldn't feel any type of way because I can't tell you what you should and shouldn't
right.
feel.
Right, and that's
but
what I'm saying.
I guess what, for me, I'm saying that it's not enough time invested for you to put yourself in a situation that may make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, what happens if you get an answer that you really don't want? Or what if you get rejection again? Uh-huh. How is that going to make you feel? Do you want to put yourself through another emotional, you know, situation? Mm-hmm. Like, I would say the guy wasn't into you, and that should be enough
she
in terms
that.
Of closure to say, the guy just wasn't into me like that. This person right. just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Let me move on to someone else who is.
But let's accept yeah. her for where she is. So she's already said he wasn't into me.
Right.
She's yep. already, she acknowledges all this. Anything, if she was sitting here right now, she would yes you to death. Mm-hmm. She acknowledges all that. All that said, she's still where she's at. So okay. our prescriptions should be based off of where she's at, not where she should be based off of what's, we're considering yeah. should be the norm.
Right. And I'm considering where she's at. My belief is that this has been an insult or a blow to her pride.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I would imagine.
And so I feel like that's kind of what I having been in a situation a couple times myself, mm-hmm. I feel that this other person just feel like they didn't get the last word. Mm-hmm. Like you're not supposed to dump me. You know, like this, like you say, it wasn't mutual.
I don't get like, that from the text though.
This is just my belief mm-hmm. from just kind of what I got from it is like you were together for a month. He wasn't into me. It wasn't really mutual. I feel like it was like, look, I had some extra feelings here that I wanted to give you. Mm-hmm. And then you walked away before I was able to give them to you.
Okay.
How dare you? And so now it's like I need to be the one to tell you off and tell you what you're missing and tell you this and that. I need to be the one that ends this. And I've gotten these messages.
Do you get that vibe from this particular?
I'm
text
getting
though?
Two vibes. I'm getting either that the pride vibe or it's the maybe I can convince you to change your mind vibe.
Now I'll give you that one's probably in there, but right. I'm not getting the pride vibe.
I guess I'm getting the. I just need to hear this from me. I need to know
yes.
why was okay. I not good enough to
there you
be
go.
With you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think okay. there's some of that in that, there, yeah. too. Yeah. I think it's a little bit of what Stacey just said mixed with what you were talking about of, mm-hmm. well, maybe if we get this last little shot, maybe,
right.
maybe. Yeah. But either way, she wants more. Mm-hmm. And she's saying that she hasn't moved on from the situation. So even if it was just a month, I mean, we don't know what kind of man hours were involved with this month, but she's obviously well attached from this month that it's been some time since he didn't. She's the first to admit he wasn't that into me, but she's into him. And yeah. she got to address that because if she doesn't address that, then it's just there.
You know how this is going to end. She's going to call him saying, you know what, I'm so sorry this happened. You know, or no, she's going to call him like, hey, I want to talk about blah, blah, blah.
Let's meet and talk about it. Yeah.
He'll be like, all right, why don't you come over around 3 a.m.? Me and the boys come from the club. He'll smash again. And then the next morning, he'll be like, yeah, I was right the first
I'm
time.
I'm still not into
And that's why she needs to move on.
And then what will happen? Will she not then have what she needed?
Yeah, but now
she's going to feel worse.
She's feeling bad already.
Yeah, so but you don't need to add.
Make yourself feel right. So you're going to make yourself feel worse?
You're going to add another layer to it.
Right. Look, she doesn't have to screw him if she doesn't want to. She knows where this is at. This is a closure meeting. This isn't let's get together and hump one last time. If it is that, it's because you went into that eyes wide open. I got no sympathy. But this is a closure meeting. She wants to get together and something in her has either a question or something to say that needs to get done or said. And then it's done with. I say there's nothing wrong with doing that. If it's really going to put it to bed for you, Pun intended. If it's really gonna, no, seriously, if it's really gonna put it to bed for you, then do that.
See, I feel like it's classic emotional attachment to a desired outcome. You didn't get what you really wanted, now you're emotionally attached to getting it.
Not if she genuinely is doing this for closure purpose. Now, like you said, if she's got it in the back, because I know you said that's what you're feeling, right, or she's got it in the back of her head, I might be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
Then you're right. That is attachment mm-hmm. to a desired outcome. That will be a negative. But if it's more like what Stacey's talking about, like I just need to do this for me, there's nothing wrong with that.
Then in that case, if you need to do it for you, well, go ahead, Stacey. I feel like I'll cut you off a couple times here.
No, I was just going to say, if she feels like, basically what you were going to say, if she feels like she needs to do that for her, go ahead, do that. However, I personally feel like you don't need that, because even though you think it makes you feel better, like, okay, I got it off my chest. I said what I wanted to say. I heard what he said. I received the information. The outcome is more than likely still going to be the same. You're not going to be with this man.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And you should bet on the fact that nothing you say is about to change the situation. Mm-hmm. The only reason why you should have an additional communication is if, in fact, this is something that you are doing just for yourself and you understand fully that you are still going to be just as not talking to him after you do or say whatever it is. If you're comfortable with that and you feel like you need that, then by all means do that. Myself, being on the receiving end of needing closure and mm-hmm. also being on the receiving end of giving someone closure who needed it before they could effectively move on, mm-hmm. I know firsthand from both sides of the from both sides of the seesaw, so to speak, that it's needed sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like closure is part of the healing process. And when you don't give yourself that healing process,
yeah,
then it's open and it's just buried. It's just covered at that point.
I agree with that. But I guess for me, I'm like, you weren't invested in this long enough.
Oh, you're talking about
the what I'm saying? Scenario. It's it's just, there was not enough invested, you know. Obviously, I don't know what you guys did in a month. Mm-hmm. But just based off of what, you know, you said, I just don't feel like it's that deep for you to feel like you have to get this to move on. I feel like enough, you should have enough in knowing he just didn't want to be with you.
Absolutely. All right, so Paul, what's your final word for this young lady?
My final word is, I'm gonna meet the writer where she's at.
All right.
If you're telling me honestly that you need this, then understand that if you have this final communication, it ain't going to change anything. But if you need this for yourself, then by all means, go ahead. And it's probably going to start you from square one with the healing process. So wherever you're at, you started some healing. You didn't brace the arm. It's healing crooked. Yeah. But it did start some healing. And by this having this closure, it's going to restart the healing process from square one. So basically, you're going to break this shit arm. so that we can set it and have it heal back properly. But I'm okay with that as long as you know that this isn't going to change anything. This is just something you're doing therapeutic for yourself.
Excellent.
And that would be my final point. Have your expectations set really low.
Yeah.
Because this more than likely, like you said, is not going to change anything. So your question was, would it be inappropriate to text them and to ask for the closure? No. Would it be inappropriate for you to apologize for being cold towards him? No. However, understand that if you go into this situation and you want to receive some type of closure and information, just know that the outcome will more than likely be the same. And you need to be okay with that.
Yeah. Perfectly said. And my thought is, like, you know what? Write that stuff down in a letter and just burn it. Get it off your chest. And don't try to put it on his back.
Hey, there it
is. There you go. All right. Thank you all for joining us.
Smoke rises.
Exactly. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back in 2 Wednesdays.